Welcome to the TLC, the Life Coach Podcast with Matt Halloran. Every week, one of the world's top life coaches, Matt Halloran, will share his wisdom through stories and ideas to help you live the best life possible. Success is only a podcast away. Now, please welcome your host, Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to episode 13. Today's podcast is going to be about the past. Now, I know many, many of you have heard the statement, you know, the past needs to be in the past. But before we really attack that, we have to talk about why we focus so much on what's happened in the past. And we do it for a very simple reason. We do it because we want to protect ourselves. One of the things that happens a lot of times is you think if it happened once, the probability of it happening again is exponentially higher. And I want you to know that that's not true. There's an old saying, one does not a trend make. Just because something happened to you once in your past that was a single event that was very painful or traumatic does not mean it's going to happen again. And you should, hands down, try to protect yourself of it. But that does not mean that you have to live your life with that anchor dragging behind you because you're so terrified it's going to happen again. So getting back to the statement of, okay, everybody says that the past needs to stay in the past, but what can you do to leave your past and all of that luggage, that anchor, that crap that you keep dragging behind you behind? Step number one, that you have to agree with yourself and you have to tell yourself repeatedly that the probability of that happening again in the same situation in the future is zero, or so darn close to zero it's negligible. Now, if you are in an abusive relationship and your partner abuses you on a regular basis, and you're wondering why the past keeps happening, it's because you're in an abusive relationship with somebody who behaves in an abusive manner. That's not what I'm talking about here. Some of this is self-reflection. Some of this is you looking at yourself and saying, am I continuously putting myself in these situations for these bad things to happen? So I'm reinforcing my reality of my past. Part of this is your responsibility. You have to step up. You have to look at yourself and realize that if you keep doing that, if you keep staying in that relationship like I was just talking about, the probability of it happening is much greater than zero. It's probably a pretty darn high percentage because you want to keep living in that past. That is your normal. You have to change the normal. Number two, you have to look at what you can learn from that in the past. How can you use a negative experience and turn it into something positive? There have been all sorts of things that have happened to me in the past that weren't great things, but I don't regret them. And I think that's so important from a philosophical and a mindset standpoint. Were they bad? Absolutely. Did I get my heart ripped out by different people I dated, or did I make some poor choices? Absolutely. But instead of dwelling on them and instead of me beating myself up for them 40 years later, well, instead what I try to do is learn from them. I take that negative experience and turn it into a positive. So let's talk about the abusive relationship as a great example. There are going to be personality traits and different things that you see in people who abuse other people. So if you break up or you leave the person who's abusive, you have to write those things down. Those specific behaviors that you remember that were antecedents, which means lead up to the abuse. And you need to make sure that the next person you date doesn't behave in that manner. That's taking something negative and turning it into something positive. Step number three. Talk about the experiences with somebody you trust and tell them what you learned from those experiences. When you really want to learn something, the best way to learn it is to teach somebody else. If you know that you've got this trusted person in your life that you can teach about a bad experience that has happened to you in the past and what you learned from it, it's going to internalize it even more. And I've said this on other podcasts, and you're going to hear me say this throughout this whole series, but verbalization leads to realization and organization. When you tell somebody something else, verbalizing it, it organizes it and allows you to realize it in a different way. It actually makes it so it becomes more real in your conscience. Step number four. What happens right before you get triggered to the past event that's negative? So that goes back to the antecedent of behavior. Now, if you do that when it's somebody else, like I was talking about with abusive relationship, it's easier to externalize that, to say, okay, well, this is their behavior. But now you have to look at your behavior. Now, there is no excuse at any time, in any way, shape, or form, for anybody to abuse somebody else physically or mentally. What I want you to think of is what are you looking for in that person when you get back into dating an abusive person? That is what you can do. Now, if there are other triggers, though, like, for instance, one of the things that I volunteer to do is I volunteer to help vets in a life coaching environment who have PTSD, just help them set goals and kind of refocus themselves. And there are a lot of triggers that we have to talk about with people who have PTSD. And they're very different between different vets and different people. But if you know those triggers and you can prepare yourself before you go into that triggering situation, the effect of that trigger can actually go down. This is a really, really powerful exercise that I take my clients through. And it doesn't just have to be vets. It also can just be normal, everyday people. You have to make a comprehensive list of what happens before you have noticed that you've been triggered. Where are you? Who are you with? What are you doing? And why are you doing it? If you ask yourself those four questions, you're going to start fleshing out these triggers and make it so that you can get ahead of the triggers. So I'm going to give you just a quick example. So I was working with this veteran down south, and he really does suffer from some serious PTSD. And he kept noticing that every time he went to baseball games, that he just really went inside and shut down, and and sometimes, had to leave, was very jumpy. And so when I asked him those questions, where are you, who are you with, what are you doing, and where are you doing it, or why are you doing it, he started realizing that it had to do with the fact that, one, there were so many people around, and two, they were constant, unpredictable, loud sounds. Now, auditory stimulation can be a huge trigger for a lot of different things. Whether you got into a bad car accident and you hear a car's tires screeching or a car honk, right? That's another big trigger for people who've been in car accidents. When you're walking around and a car backfires, if you've ever been in a gun violence incident, that can totally trigger you. Now, this is not a perfect situation, because every time you go out, you can't say to yourself, well, if there are car backfires, I'm not going to get triggered. That's not what I'm saying. But when you put yourself into environments that you know could have triggers, ask yourself those questions and then start figuring out what you can do to prepare yourself, whether it's deep breathing, whether it's journaling, whether it's, saying positive statements. Step number four here is really powerful for you to stop living so much in the past. Step five. When you see yourself heading down that path that reinforces that experience, stop and change your environment. Praise yourself for recognizing the potential repeat behavior. So this is an old school how to train yourself life coaching system that probably has happened since Socrates, Aristotle, all the way up to Napoleon Hill. Tony Robbins talks about it. Everybody talks about trying to break that cycle. So you see yourself heading down a path where you know you are going to repeat a behavior that happened in the past or an environmental situation that happened in the past. Change where you are. And I mean physically. If there's any possible way for you to change your location, that's going to change all of the stimulus around you. If you can't change that, what then you need to do is you need to change what you're doing personally when it comes to physically. So stop. If you need to pray, get down on your knees and pray. Close your eyes. If you need to jump around, do jumping jacks. Do anything to just change your physical state. This will interrupt this pattern. When you do interrupt the pattern and you realize that you're not going to continue to repeat these past behaviors, you need to tell yourself you did a good job, or you go back to step three and you talk to somebody who you love dearly, who you trust, tell them that you did this and ask them for praise or get praise from them. So just to kind of recap those on how you can stop living in the past. Step number one is agree that the majority of time it's not going to happen again. Number two, what can you learn from it? Number three, talk about these experiences and what you've learned from them with somebody that you trust. Number four, figure out what happens in the different antecedents, which are the things that happen before you get triggered. And then five, when you see yourself do it, make sure that you're going to praise yourself and congratulate yourself on breaking the cycle of repeat behavior. Everybody needs to know that practice is how all of this stuff works. This does not happen overnight. Last but not least, if you really want to stop living in the past, you need to start living for now, and you need to start living for the future. I help all of my clients create what I call their ideal day or perfect day. Now, all of you should get a piece of paper or just remember this. You need to write down ideally 10 years from now what your life would be like if everything was in place. And I mean everything. Where you live, where you sleep, what you're eating, what you're wearing, what cars you drive, who are you with, how do you feel? And write it down and start with it saying, I woke up and. And you need to write out this ideal day, because if you have it, and I have mine in my office, it's laminated. I look at it every single solitary day. I could repeat the whole darn whole page to you right now because I've memorized it. You need to do the same thing, because here's the cool thing. Instead of living the past, you start being able to live into the future. There are things that are in my perfect day that happen to me intermittently throughout my week that reinforce the fact that I'm on the right track. But if you don't know where you are going and where you want to be, you're never going to be on the right path, and you're always going to be looking to what happened in the past. If you have a goal, if you have something to focus on that's ahead of you, it is so much easier than focusing on all the crap that's happened to you in the past. Write down your perfect day. Follow those five steps. See what you can do. Stop living in the past. Start living in the now and start living for the future.
Thank you for taking the time out of your busy life to listen to our podcast. Remember, a single change, no matter how big or small, can start you on your path to live your best life possible. You deserve it. We will see you on the other side of the mic soon. Have a wonderful day.